People wait for that, you know.
Good evening, everybody. Today's subject is not based on a Kohen holiday, a holy day. It's not based on the parasha. I just felt like talking about it. So if you don't mind, that's going to be the subject. If you do mind, that's going to be the subject anyhow. Because I don't have another one. There's a word in English that I don't understand. A lot of people speak many languages. He speaks Farsi, she speaks French, you speak English, somebody speaks Chinese, Kong Chi Fasai. But there's a word that in Lashon HaKodesh I understand, in English I don't understand it. It's called alacrity. What does it mean? Everybody looks the same, right? I went to look for the definition in English of this word, and it's alacrity. Zirizut. Did you know zirizut was alacrity? So then I went on my little palm, and I looked it up on my little dictionary here. Let me see what I got for alacrity. Zirizut. Zirizut, they have better ones. They have aliveness, pep, skill, agility, readiness, that's a good one. Quickness, I like that one. Adeptness, and several others. You getting the picture now? That's called zirizut, and that's alacrity. I will not name the tape alacrity, nobody will listen to it. There's a famous line that Yaakov Avinu sent in a message to his long lost and should have stayed lost brother Esav. But we found him, unfortunately. He told him, "In Laban Garti." I lived with Laban. And there's a famous question that if he was trying to console him and calm him down, to appease him, then how does Rashi's interpretation of that pasuk fit? What does Rashi say? Remember? Very famous. Very famous. In Lavan Garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti v'lo lamati masav harayim. I live with Lavan Garti gimal reshta. V'taryag, the same letters, 613. Mitzvot shamarti, I kept. And I didn't learn from his Santana, evil ways. You know that one. You shouldn't know that. You're trying to calm him down. What do you mean I didn't learn from his evil ways? That's the question the Chafetz Chaim asks. In fact, many ask the question, but Chafetz Chaim's answer is very interesting for us. He says, Esav, you probably heard I'm a good guy. That I went to Lavan and I didn't get spoiled by his trickery, his crookedness. I married four women. I had 12 children. Everything's working out. And that might make you angry with me, thinking I stole your blessings and I stole your firstborn rights. So he tells him, but I live with Lavan, I kept the 613 mitzvot. Does Lavan care? No. Does Esav care? No. They don't care about his mitzvot. But he tells them about his mitzvot. And lo lamati ma'asav, and I didn't learn his evil ways. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Esav was aware that the blessings, the berachot of Yaakov, were on condition. Tonight, if you keep the Torah and the mitzvot, then you'll be on top. But if you slip, Esav will have the power to rule over you. And that's been the story of our history for over 3,000 years. When we behave, we're okay. When we don't behave, some Esav nation, Greeks, Romans, Germans, Huns, Cossacks, start to rule over us. The Berachot cease to work. So if Yaakov wants to calm down his angry brother, who's coming to meet him with 400 powerful, mighty soldiers, and he has a fear of wiping out his family, then what's the message? The message is, don't worry. Do you know how Lavan got excited when he conned somebody? Could you imagine his little face rubbing his hands together? How did I beat that guy? There's one born every minute. Do you know how he cheated and he stole and he switched my salary? He got so excited doing things that were unacceptable. It's sort of like, what's the difference? Don't admit that you know how this works. What's the difference between trying to read a Torah, a spiritual book, at night, say about 11:30 p.m.? How long do you last? 11:30 and a half, 11:31? How long? More than 2 minutes? More than three? Impossible. If the doctors knew this, you think Celebrex is going to put Pfizer out of business? If they ever found out that if you open up a Torah book, you fall asleep, all the sleeping pills would have to come off the market. Why is that? But if you're at a party, or if it's extra innings, for the fourth quarter, the Yetzirah gives you power to do evil. Right? Ooh, too many smiles there. You're all agreeing. I don't like that. Even you know this firsthand? My goodness. My goodness. I don't know if this is the crowd I want to speak to. You're all guilty. But natural, don't worry. So Yaakov tells Esav, I lived with this man. He showed me how to get things done. The excitement, the alacrity, the zeal, the pep, all those other words I read you before, all that was in his evil. And I couldn't do mitzvot with the same enthusiasm he could do wickedness. So I guess I'm a failure, you don't have to worry. They were building the Mishkan. The first official Jewish appeal. Bring the goods, we want to build the Mishkan. Very successful appeal. It was not only the first, it was probably the most successful. Within a very short time period of a day or so, they had too much. He had to call off the appeal, Moshe Rabbeinu. והמלאכה הייתה דיין לכל המלאכה לעשות אותה והותר. הותר. And the bringing of the materials for the Mishkan was enough for all the work that had to be done. And more than enough. Ur HaChaim HaKadosh says, if it was enough, it wasn't more than enough. Right? You didn't notice that the first time I read it, did you? Wake up! If it's dayam, if it's enough, it's not hotel, it's not extra. And if it's extra, it's not enough. Not merely enough. So, the resolution offered by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Chaim ben Atar, Zecher Tzadik, Kadosh, Mekubal, Betoban. Perhaps the Torah is informing us of how beloved Bnei Israel were in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem therefore concerned himself with the honor of each individual who troubled himself to bring something, and he ensured that everything was included in the construction of the Mishkan. In other words, if they needed so many pounds of gold and so many diamonds and so many rubies and so much wood and so much silver and so much wool, and the people brought an excess over and above that, Hashem felt that they did it with so much love and so much zirizut, alacrity. Anyone has spell it? Is it a K? Is it a K? Oh, very good, very good. I knew she would know. I asked 25 people before, nobody got it, that it was zirizut. But we're learning now. We're growing from this class. We'll leave with at least one more word in our vocabulary, which is not that great. But Hashem decided, I'm going to reward these people. Although the original plan called for less, I'm going to make it work out that every single piece of material brought will be used as a reward for their citizens. What they brought was dayam, was enough. The hotel, Hashem changed the plan, so to speak, so that every piece would be used. The Nisim, on the other hand, the leaders of the tribes, they brought the precious stones that were used for the breastplate. Now she tells us a little midrash about that little incident. He says, why did the Nisim see fit to be the first contributors at the dedication of the Mizbeach, Hanukkah HaMizbeach, that we just read a couple of weeks ago, every day in the Aliyah to the Torah, and they didn't do so at the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they came last. When the appeal was started, they said, you know, we're the Givirim, we're the big shots. We can give everything. But you know, let the people bring what they want to bring, and we'll make up the shortfall. Whatever's missing, we'll supply. However, the people brought so much that nothing was missing. Nothing was needed. So when it came to Hanukkah HaMizbeach, they rushed to come first. Says Rashi in the name of the Midrash, because they were initially, it's a great word, you're going to like these words tonight, indolent. That doesn't mean you're from India and you eat lentils. It means that you are lazy, the opposite of alacrity. Indolent, because they were indolent, the name Nisi'im is spelled in the Torah Le'olam Va'ed without a Yud. It's missing a letter. Sort of like a slap in the face. Now, think back a minute. They wanted everybody to participate. They were willing to give whatever was necessary. That's like having a driver, building a new $20 million building. Go out and raise what you like, and I'll make up the balance, whatever you short. Pretty good donation, right? Wrong. You're not jumping at the opportunity. You're sitting back. You lose. So although their intentions were meritorious, are you all spelling these words right tonight, you note takers? Somebody gave me a very interesting comment. They said, you know, I heard Rabbi Friend, he has such a great vocabulary. And I heard this one speak, he has such a great vocabulary. There's a friend of mine, you know, I can tell you the story. And he says, but you use such plain words. Now, I have to admit I went to college, I went to law school. So my vocabulary is more than average. I happen to talk plain. Speak plainly is actually the actual right way to say it. I know the grammar, man. I do know. Adverb has an L-Y at the end. I do know that. But he said, why don't you improve your vocabulary? And then he tells me, I happen to know that some of the better speakers know that you can't learn Torah or think Torah in the bathroom, so they read the dictionary. I said, spare me. I will use my plain words. Let's look at these two contrasting traits. Alacrity and indolence. Get up and go and can't get off the couch. He makes a very simple statement, as most of his great statements are. Man is extremely sluggish. So is woman. Except with a charge card in hand. Because of their physical behemah nature. Or as you've heard me before, we're all built like cows. See, did you ever go to the Midwest? See a lot of cows in the Midwest. They don't move. Even a fly doesn't, you know, they got to do it with the tail. They can't even move to get a fly off their back. And we're all pretty much basically cows. Some of you like think you're bulls, but I don't want to talk about that. So a person doesn't like to exert themselves. They don't like work. We don't like work. And one, says the Mesilat Yesharim, who wants to merit eternal reward from his Maker, must strengthen himself against his own nature and act with zidizut. For if he remains with his sluggishness, then he certainly will not succeed. And that's the famous You know what the trick is? It's the 5-minute rule. Most people will do anything you ask them in 5 minutes. I don't mean they'll accomplish it in a time span of 5 minutes. They will begin to do what you ask them, not now, but in 5 minutes. I have a few children who taught me this rule. Can you get me in 5 minutes, Dad? 5 minutes and 5,000 years is about exactly the same time. I don't know how you figure it mathematically, but it's a fact. Once you don't do it now, it ain't going to be done. Now all you people in Tape Land know I'm from Brooklyn. It ain't never going to get done. If you put it off for just 5 minutes. Sla Yisharim brings another example. He brings Mishle. Was it Kohelet? Mishle. It's a famous parable in the Pesukim of Proverbs brought by Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, Al Sedeh Ish Atzel Avati. Ba'kerem adam chasalev v'hineh ala kulo kimishonim. That's a good word. Anyhow, I'll continue the pasuk in my best English translation, stolen from a book, because my loose translations haven't been working lately. I passed by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. You could tell I didn't write that. And lo, it had become overgrown with thorns. Briars had covered it over, and its stone fence had been destroyed. I perceived this and considered it well. I looked upon it and took from it a lesson. That sounds like the wisest of all men, doesn't it? Because I don't understand it. Let me explain it. Shlomo HaMelech says, I'm walking by this field, and when I looked at it, I learned the lesson I can carry through my life. Practical. What once had been a wonderful, probably productive, connoisseur's vineyard had become an overgrown thorn bush, a plot undeveloped and barren. And he said that it taught me that laziness, indolence, the basic human nature, is very destructive. It's like a poison that spreads slowly through the body. You see, the effects of either zerizut or atzlut, these two opposites, may not be so apparent immediately. Kira'at ta'asel ena ba'a bevat achat. The damage caused by the lazy one doesn't come in one fell swoop. Nike. Ela me'at me'at. Some of you must have gotten a Nike joke. Okay. And I don't have a television. Velo she'yadav yagish ba. The person doesn't feel it. Ki hineh hu nimshach mera'ah ra'ah she'yimsa tavua b'tachlit ha'ra'ah. A person is drawn slowly but surely into evil and wickedness without even feeling it until you're sunk in the quicksand. Hineh b'techila eino ela machsir ha'torach asher yaru lo. He's just missing the extra effort, the toil. Then he just doesn't learn wholeheartedly. And then because he doesn't learn, when he comes to learn, he doesn't understand. And it starts to spread throughout the body until death. What is the Mesilat Yesharim teaching us? There's a danger in laziness that's not felt immediately. It's like fatty fried foods. That's a good title for this thing. Fatty fried foods. How do they work? Cholesterol. Terrible. Everybody's low on cholesterol. Very important. Because cholesterol, what? I never met a cholesterol. Never bothered me. How many people go to the doctor and he says, well, I'm sorry to report, but me? Well, you've been eating that stuff for about 35, 45 years now. What the heck do you think is going to happen? Well, doc, I don't know. I walk at least once a month for 3.5 minutes when I can't find my keys. Cholesterol builds up slowly. You can't see it happening. And one day the arteries are blocked. Laziness slowly destroys a person. So I guess anybody with get up and go is good, right? Right? Wrong. There's a famous comparison between two people who got up very early in the morning and they saddled their donkey. Can you think of them? One is Abraham. That's an easy one. And the other one, I just got mouthed over here. I saw the corner of my eye. Bil'am. It says by both. See, after 3 weeks, you got smart. You should always come. Bil'am got up in the morning and he saddled his donkey in order to go and hurry to check line from Balak, to get his money from Balak, and curse the Jews. Abraham got up early and saddled his donkey by himself, although he had thousands of servants. Many would be very willing to help their master. But he was going to sacrifice his son at the bidding of Hashem. So Bil'am, the question becomes, why did he do such a thing? He's a wicked man. So he wanted to show, I got up and did it myself too. I'm Zariz. I have alacrity. Now she over there at the point says, beautiful Mitzvah. What did Hashem tell Bil'am at that point? He saddled his donkey. Shechavash ba'atzmo. Bil'am himself saddled him. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, Rasha, you wicked lowlife. Kevar kidimach Abraham Avim. The people you're going to curse, their father already beat you to the punch. Sefer called Nahalat Eliezer explains. Zirizuto shel Bil'am lo nav'a me'oto makor ha'mizarez et anshei ma'ala. The eagerness of Bil'am didn't come from the same source as more lofty individuals who inhabited this planet like Abraham. In fact, novat mimidotav hashvelot. It was from his baser character traits that this excitement developed. Ruach kibah, ayin ra'ah, nefesh rechava, all those things in Bekei Avot. Says the Nachalat Eliezer, zirizut kazo hena lema'ase atzlut v'rashlanut. This type of eagerness is really only laziness. It's laziness and a lack of desire and strength, as I continue to translate. It's a lack of spiritual strength to overcome and overpower your spoiled midot, your weak traits. But someone who can overcome the yetzer hara, the evil inclination, that's a gibor. That's a mighty one. So we see a difference now. Get up and go is not always so good. It depends what its source is. Yellow arrow. You see, when somebody has a mitzvah to do, and they arise early in the morning to do it, Hayashkem Avraham Baboker, we say Zirizim Matinim La Mitzvot. Those who have this trait are first to do a mitzvah. So it means if it's a morning mitzvah, do it as early as possible in the morning. Like lulav, etrog, tefillin, brit milah, even on a Sunday. Or, it might be a nighttime mitzvah. Try and do it at the first possible moment. There's a beautiful midrash that I love. I love most of them anyhow. But there's a beautiful midrash, and they're mostly beautiful. Tells of different incidences of people, if they had known. You know the midrash? If they had known. Reuven made an attempt to save his brother. So the Torah writes, Vayishma Reuven Vayatziloyo Miyadam. Writes in the Torah, Reuven heard what they intended to do. He understood their evil intentions. And he saved Yosef from the hands of the others. Amar Yitzhak Bar Muryan. Ba hakatuv lelamedach, shim adam oseh mitzvah, ya'asena b'lev shalem. If a person wants to do a mitzvah, they should do it wholeheartedly. That's also an adverb. L-Y. Wholeheartedly. She'ilu hayar uven yodea shakadosh baruch hu machtiv alav ha'ishma yitzurel yuven v'yitzurel miyadam. If he knew for eternity Hashem was watching and Hashem was gauging what he was doing and Hashem was proud of what he was doing so much that he wrote it in the Torah forever and ever that it says that Reuven heard and he saved his brother Yosef from the others, would he have tried to convince them to sell him? Don't sell him, don't kill him. No, the Midrash says, he would have put him on his shoulders and carried him home to Yaakov. And it brings an example of Aharon, was told to go greet Moshe, and he comes out, V'racha v'samach v'libo. He's going to see you, don't worry, you're worried about taking his job away, he's going to see you, he's going to be so happy. It says, if Aharon knew, was going to write that about him, he would have come out with a marching band. Nebuchadnezzar, I have to make it more colorful. Boaz gave Ruth a little bonus food. If he knew that, he would have filled up trucks and sent them home with her. Because it writes it in the Pasuk. What would make a person do that? Are we belittling these giants of spirituality? That if they would have known, somebody would give them a pat on the back? That they would have done it better? Chas v'shalom. Heaven forbid. I don't know how chas v'shalom comes out to be heaven forbid, but that's what it means. You don't know that one, because I don't know that one. You see what it is? It's telling us you gotta understand what the mitzvah is. You like money? You must. You go to work every day. You like food. The restaurants are opening up on King's Highway every day. Another one. People like to eat. When you like something, you understand what it is, you want to do it, you go for it with all the gusto you got. But in Mitzvah, there's 613, I can't even keep up. Okay, the Chafetz Chaim Gadol is the active one, about 190, how many did he say? You read that book, right? Sefer Mitzvot, Ketzur, Ketzur, you know what I mean. There's a book of the current Mitzvot without the Beit HaMikdash, without this, a couple of hundreds. How excited could a man get in the morning getting dressed and putting on a tzitzit? Or eyeing it if he slept in it. Oh, I'm still wearing my tzitzit. How excited I am. You pray three times a day. How excited could you get? Come on. Man comes to the shul, he puts out his hand, you give him a dollar. Give him a quarter. Tzedakah, do it every day. Well, by the time I start shachit and finish, maybe 10 guys come. It's a mitzvah, I don't get excited. There's 6 mitzvot you can do at any time. You know the 6, anybody know the list? They make little laminated cards with stuff on it. Buy them a quarter. One of them is to sit, stand, walk, meditate, call it what you like. There's a Hashem. He created everything. He's the only power. You got a mitzvah. So I tell you, well, that's easy. So maybe you try it. You might even get excited the first time. How about the 80th time? If there is an 80th time. I was standing waiting for the subway. Yes, I do take the subway. I said, I'm at your car. Okay. I was standing by the subway platform looking at all those people who don't understand what life's about. They're reading newspapers, magazines, subway maps. And I love the person who's reading the Tehillim. I noticed this. Person's reading TV, that's a very good thing to do when you're waiting for a train. Read TV. Except the person seemed to be very impatiently looking down the track about every 30 seconds. I felt like tapping that person on the shoulder, which I couldn't because she was female. I didn't know her anyhow. If it was a man, I'd be afraid. But tapping on the shoulder and saying, do you think looking down the track is going to make the train coming any quicker? And the answer probably is, no, I didn't think that. I said, so how could you stop reading Tehillim to look down the track for no purpose? It must be you don't know what reading Tehillim is. For the opportunity to read Tehillim, you should be dancing on the platform. For wearing a tzitzit, you should be kissing the cloth. Like the Vilna Gaon before he died. The Vilna Gaon before he died. Crying with his kissing his tzitzit. What are you crying for, Rebbe? You're going to allow my Bible, but over there I won't be able to do the mitzvah tzitzit anymore. For a few pennies, I bought a garment, I put some strings on, I get it mitzvah every second, I'm wearing it. You could sit in this room now and say, I love you, Hashem, I really do. Mitzvah. You can walk down 34th Street with your eyes closed. That's Lotatur Acharei Nechem. That's also a mitzvah. But don't bump into anything. Don't walk into the street. But if you understand what a mitzvah is, you'll get excited. Love deal the ball game. Love deal the money. Love deal the food. Love deal the new restaurant. Love deal the shopping. You get excited. Minyan, we can't get up. Vacation, the car service lined up Ocean Park. I can't get to shul that morning. I know exactly what day the session starts. 4:30, everybody in their warm-up suits waiting for the thing outside the freezing cold. It must be intercession. People excited, they get up. You have to understand what a mitzvah is before you get excited about it. You have to know where it touches, where it reaches, what it changes, what it does for you, what it does for the world, what it does for the Jewish people. One mitzvah. And if you do it with Dizut, and you do it with Hidur, and you do it the best way, wow, nuclear weapons! Weapons of mass construction. You can build Olamot. Oh, it's a shame we're running out of time. There's a story in the Gemara. Gemara Ta'anit. 22a art scrolls. The rabbis in the marketplace, he sees Eliyahu Navi. Just a typical day in the marketplace. He sees Eliyahu Navi, he tells him, hey Eliyahu, I want to ask you something. Is anybody in this marketplace that's going to Olam Abba? So he points out a man wearing black shoes, which was uncommon in those days, and two jesters. I could pick either one to make the point. Two jesters who made people laugh. And they brought peace to those who were quarreling. The Maharal says, why are these people so special that Eliyahu Navi could point them out to be the ones to go Olam Abba? Not that they did the mitzvah. They did it with excitement and they were attached to it. They loved the mitzvah. These two people made peace. When they used to see a person sad and make a joke for them, they belittled themselves. You know what a clown is like? You know how silly you have to be? I have to be here to make you guys laugh. Belittling! Nah, I like it. For jesters in the marketplace to make people laugh, they must have done something very silly. Says the Maharal, mevazeh et atzmo. Why? Navi shalom b'nehem. And he shouldn't say, what do I care about them? Let them fight. Let them be in a bad mood. Let them be upset. What do I care? It's not my problem. It's not my problem. But I care. Is that the right attitude? Or I'll do anything to turn this person's mood around. In fact, the Maharal says that's why it's called Ridifat Shalom. Rodevsha, to run after. It's hard. You have to chase it. Why? Because he's a cow like the rest of us. And to get that excitement and get up and go. Gufo yesh bo atzlut. His body has weakness and laziness. And when he overcomes that, it's like getting rid of the body. And that deserves a spiritual existence in Olam Abba. Because over there, the body won't hold you back. So much good stuff here. Ramoshe, Zechet Tzadik Levecha, Ramoshe Feinstein. Pasuk says, Ubahata Bechayim, Neman Techiye Ata Vizarecha. Choose life so that you shall live, and so too your offspring. Well, I could choose to live. What does that do my offspring? Says Rav Moshe, you have to live in a way that will be mashpia on your offspring. Sometimes people keep the Torah in detail, but they don't affect their children. They don't impact them positively. It's in a way that doesn't make the children want to do it also. It's like, I got to, so I do. Says Rav Moshe, Mishum Shemamim Bahashem Torato, the person does it because they believe in Hashem and His Torah. Aval Nikar Mikiyumo She'en Lo Hana'a V'Simcha Mizeh, but it's obvious from the way the person does it, they have no pleasure, they have no happiness. Ela Be'ol Kocho, Ba'al Kocho, Me'ev Yisayon. It's against his will that is withstanding the test. Says Rav Moshe in words of wisdom, Hareu mikalkel et zaro. He's spoiling his children. Sheyomru shehem emem koach ugvura kazo lechbo sheyitzram. They don't have the power to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Daddy couldn't do it. Hafet Chaim was asked, how come so many first generation immigrants to America assimilated so quickly? They came from the bastions of Judaism in Europe, and the kids of those people lost it all. How come? Same idea. His answer was simple. If a woman complains, "Oy, Pesach, to work so hard." If a father comes home, "Shabbat, I'll probably get fired again because I keep Shabbat. The boss wants me to work. I'll probably get fired. Getting up on my yahrzeit, I have to get up for shul tomorrow. Because I have an appointment, I gotta go early. I don't know how I'm gonna make it. Tzedakah, phone doesn't stop ringing, and the guys don't stop knocking on the door, and I can't get my work done in the office. Check after check, they must think I'm made out of money." You do that, kids who admire their parents start to say to themselves, "I'm not even as good as my father, and he can't do it. I guess I shouldn't even try." Lost generation. Bechol yom yehu b'enecha kechadashim. Every day, mitzvot have to look new to you. Come on, some of you must be young enough to remember the first time you did a mitzvah and you got excited. I don't remember my bar mitzvah, but I watch all the other kids. Kid's excited on his bar mitzvah. He puts on tefillin that day, he's excited. Even if the photographer is in charge and makes his grandfather rap the first time, and his father the second one, and his uncle the third one, and but you have to watch and straighten them out so that they're all exactly half inch apart. And then I go to minyan in the morning, just a regular non-bar mitzvah minyan, and watch all of these zombies come in a semi-coma state and put on their tefillin. Some of them are over here, some are over here, some of them are on the back of the neck. I don't know where they're putting it. What happened to the bar mitzvah? How many times have people say, I did this the other night? It's so amazing. I can't believe what a great mitzvah. It's the first time I ever went to visit the sick. And I got such a boost from Bikur Cholim, I'm going to go all the time. Ha. Won't last long. See, you got to understand what it is. You want to come from the side of who asked you? Hashem asked. Imagine if the greatest king on earth said, please give me a glass of water. If there were 50 people that you trample them to get the water first. It's what is so simple. What does Hashem say? Put a quarter in the kupah box. Wear this. Take off that. Hold a branch. Hold a lemon. How easy is loving it all? We're shaking the winds, we're changing the cosmos. I don't know what the Kabbalah is. I know it's simple to do. Read a pasuk. Gentlemen, reading Torah is a mitzvah. Ashve yosheve betecha od yalucha sela. 6 words worth $60 billion or more. But you don't connect what you're doing. You read that pasuk, there's a guy in Paris, a nice Yehudi from a nice family, ready to intermarry. And somehow you change the atmosphere in the world and he decides not to. Wow, you're powerful. Person is ill, you make them better. Person can't have a baby, you make them pregnant. Person can't get married, you find them a shidduch. What? I read Asher Shevetecha. What did I do? You don't get what you're doing. There's a shortage, there's a root in Shamayim to every mitzvah. Every commandment that's kept is God's will. You're serving the king, the greatest of kings. Okay. There's a reward, it's untold, it's unlimited. Okay. You're changing things and doing things nobody else on this planet, the 3 billion Chinese can't do it. Actually, it's 1 billion. The 1 billion Chinese, I just looked it up. It just passed 1 billion. 1 billion Chinese can't do what you could do with one pasuk. They could all go marching through against the Great Wall. Knock it over and go into Mongolia. I don't know where they're going to go. You can't do anything. You could sit in a room and say, Asher Yosheve Betecha, and change the whole cosmos. But you don't get it. That little boy, even when he was excited, putting on a tefillin, thought he's the biggest guy on earth. They're taking pictures, they're giving him presents, his friends are all smiling, he's putting on his brand new talit, Saint Shechiyam, he puts on his tefillin. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's why it wears off. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. A simcha. If a great king asked you to do something, you thank him for asking, and you run to do it. That's supposed to be your problem. It's easy what he asks us to do. It's fun. I like it. I saw one of my friends. I tell him, you know you're a workaholic. I tell him, I love my work. I just love it. Okay. How much you love it? I love it. I could be in my office all day, all night, forever. Taking orders, shipping goods. I love it. Making new lines. It's very exciting. Did you ever sit down with him and I understand and get it?
that's exciting, he tells me.
I said, you don't know what it's like when you crack it. And then somebody asks you a question, you realize you didn't understand it at all, you go back, and then you get it. It's a mitzvah, to toil in Torah. I can remember years after doing certain mitzvot, how it felt. I'll tell you one. Not, this is to give an example, not to brag. Some man calls me up. I don't know who he is. No idea. Hi, my friend told me maybe you can help me get a job. What do you do? Who are you? My friend said maybe you can help me get a job. I tell him, you know something? I have a good idea. There'd be four faxes. All this modern stuff. You have to actually talk to people. Why don't you come to my office and bring a resume with you? He didn't know what that word meant. So he came with a jacket, a hat, and everything he thought he was supposed to wear to meet somebody. So you have a resume? I don't know what that means. But where'd you work before? Oh, he started giving me a list. He had some simple jobs, but he's a pretty smart guy. Where'd you work last? Where'd you work before that? How long did you work there? How much you make? What were your responsibilities? I wrote a resume for him. Now he has a resume. I said, this is a resume. He says, no, it's a piece of paper. So that's a resume. It means like your history of employment. And really, I think he had maybe two or three jobs. It makes him very employable. Because he's not a guy that jumps and fires, huh? 5 years here, 4 years here, 3 years. How many kids you got? Wow. House? No. Apartment. How much you pay? Oh, you need a lot of money. Well, I make a couple of calls. You need anybody? You need anybody? So listen, I'm going to leave your resume on my desk. And if anything happens, I'll let you know. And maybe a day or two later, somebody calls me up. I'm looking for a guy to do this. You know anybody? Wow, he does that. Look at the resume on my desk. He does that. I said, I have a guy. Might be very good. I just met him the other day. Seems like a pretty good guy, and he has a pretty good... Why'd you interview him? Send him to me. I called the guy. I tell him, go. The job was like maybe a tad above what he was used to doing, which may be good for him. I don't know. Maybe a month later. See how people are? This is my not Don Mechatzichut story. See how people are? Guy comes to your office, you give him the time, you write a resume, you set up an interview. Never heard from the guy. Is that fair? Actually, he called me, I went, the guy didn't like me, the guy told me, right. Wouldn't you expect that? He didn't do it. Now we had a very hectic day. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Half a day. Clean up this. And it's probably one of those years when it was Thursday, Friday, and you're not going to be in the office for that. Sunday you have to work. It's fast day. The phone rings. Hi. It's me. Anonymous. I just wanted to thank you. I want you to know I met with the guy several times. He was a little cautious, but I got the job. My wife is so happy. My children are going to enjoy the holiday. Daddy has a job. As I picked up the tear-stained resume from my desk, I said, boy, what a mitzvah that is. A job. Got a guy a job. You know something? What a way to go into Rosh Hashanah. Hashem, I got this guy a job. You got to understand. I could think of it now. I could still get excited. It's at least 25 years ago. really understood what the mitzvah was. I've never let go of that opportunity. I'd be the angel son. All by myself. I'd be Bikur Cholim. I'd be everything. If Reuven knew, if Aharon knew, if Boaz knew, we do good things. We do them as best we can. We even get excited, but we don't know what it is. Because if you knew, every day would be like new to you. And you look for a new opportunity to do it with alacrity. You know what that means now? As they say in downtown Williamsburg, b'simcha, with happiness, with excitement, with zeal, with get up and go, and all those other words I read you an hour and 10 minutes ago. I leave you with that thought. Understand every mitzvah is a lot more than you think it is. Remember, it's the king who's commanding you. That's an opportunity for you to serve the King of Kings. And he pays well for your benefit. And you can affect things that nobody on earth can affect by grabbing that opportunity out of love and happiness. And I guarantee if you do it that way, your children will also.